tonight, and we're going to pick back up in 2 Samuel chapter number 3. We are moving along as we are looking into the King David series, and we're going to see how this whole situation is continuing to move forward. And we thank God for how He's given us some good things to think about and to apply in our life too. Hallelujah. All right, once you got in there, I will read one verse, verse number 1 of that 2 Samuel chapter 3. Let's all stand. 2 Samuel 3 and verse number 1. We'll read, pray, and ask God for His help on tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 3, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. We're going to talk tonight, a simple little thought, the long battle. The long battle. Father, I pray tonight for your help, and God, I pray God to help us to realize that sometimes the battles that we face are not short battles. Sometimes they are long battles. But I pray and ask God that each of us will understand the great truth that when all the dust settles, we shall win the victory. So I pray and ask God to take the message tonight and encourage us, motivate us, inspire us, lift us, help us, and for that God will thank you. And I pray God to bless all those who are here tonight and those who are watching. God, give us strength for the journey. I pray God that you'd wrap your arms around us, let us feel your presence. And that Father will shout hallelujah. Help somebody, for somebody needs your help tonight. I know that I do. Then, God, there's anything else we have need of. Please, sir, meet that need as well. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Bless our church and all those who come from week to week. And those who tune in to watch are from week to week as well. For your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe see it. Of a long battle. Nobody likes to get in a battle per se. Now, there's some people, they like to fight. They look for a fight. But the average person does not look to have a battle. But sometimes we'll find ourselves in the midst of a battle, and sometimes a battle is short. But then sometimes a battle is long. And here we have a situation where God has told David years earlier that he will be king over all of Israel. But guess what? Time is elapsing. It's going by. They're fighting. They're battling. He's battling folks that are part, they have the same type of DNA that he has inside of his veins. He's not received the kingship as of yet, not the whole kingship. Right now, he is a king over Judah, but not over all of Israel. And now, my friends, we find out that in the midst of this battle, some things are taking place. The first thing we see is the length of the battle. The length of the battle. The Bible says in verse number 1, now there was long battle or war, and that word war means battle or warfare, watch this, between the house or the family of Saul and the house or the family of David. This is a long battle. It's a long war that's taking place between these two families. But let me remind us now, remember, both of these families are connected to the family of Israel, Jacob's family. But yet they're having this battle that's taking place. It's a war that's taking place. It's a long battle, not a short battle. And one thing we see, my friends, about this battle is sometimes it reminds us of the long battle that you and I face in a spiritual sense. Think about this. When you and I were born with the flesh. Our first nature. But then when we trusted Christ our Savior, we got a new nature, a spiritual nature. But we see, my friends, that there's a battle that's going on between the natures that live within us. How do you know that? Let me show you. Wrote with me to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Now I know it'd be wonderful if when you and I got saved, we had no more battles with our flesh. But just by the fact that you and I are breathing tonight, we know that we are facing a battle with our flesh. It's almost a constant battle. Sometimes we're winning greatly, but then sometimes we find ourselves on the losing end. But look what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and then verse number 17. Galatians 5 verse 17. The Bible says this. The Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. And watch this. And they are contrary, they are opposed the one to the other.
so that you cannot do the things that you would or desire or have in mind. What happens, my friends, is that you have that spiritual nature, but also the old man is still there. He ain't dead. He ain't even asleep.
Amen.
But nonetheless, my friends, a lot of times we have a desire to do what is right, but then something else is pulling us in another direction. That's what the Bible says. They are opposed one to another. But guess what? This is all you, though. All this is happening on the inside of you. Now, I'm thinking about David's family. This is family stuff. And this is connected stuff. Just like you and I, my dear friends, we have that battle on the inside, that struggle on the inside. But here's some good news for us. The Bible says in verse 18, but, that's a shift, but if ye be led of the Spirit, yet not under the law. Watch this. That word led here means to be led or to be driven or to be guided by the Spirit. When you and I let the Spirit of God guide us, then you and I will have more victories than defeats. Amen. But as soon as you and I begin to let our fleshly nature, that fleshly craving, begin to guide us, then we're going to get into trouble. But when you and I let the Holy Spirit lead us, the Bible says he'll guide us unto what? All truth. Look, the Bible says, open the Gospel of John. Chapter number 16, I believe it is. Gospel of John, chapter number 16. Look, the Bible says about the Spirit of God. When you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved on the inside. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, and verse number 13, the Bible says this, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, watch it, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show or announce or report to you things to come. The Spirit of God will guide us into the truth. But the question is this, like it says in the old movie, can we handle the truth? Do we want the truth? If we want the truth, then we pray and say, God, show me the truth. Guide me to the truth. And the Spirit of God will show us the truth about what job to take, about what person to date, what person to marry, what place to worship, what car to buy, what home to purchase, or whatever the case might be. If we let the Spirit of God guide us, he will guide us into the truth. Now, sometimes he reveals to us that truth, but we don't want to receive that truth because that truth is not lining up with what we desire, what we want. But remember, the Spirit will show us the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will make us free, will set us free. Right. I don't know about you, but I want that truth because I like to be free and not to be in bondage or to be shackled down. That was one of the problems with the children of Israel. God had said that David would be king over all of Israel. He has been anointed twice now. The first time by Samuel. He's been anointed again, my dear friends, here over Judah. But yet all of Israel is not receiving the truth that's already been given. Abner knows the truth that God has chosen David to be king. Our flesh knows the truth that God would have the Spirit that leads us to be king in our life. Amen. But yet it fights against us on a daily basis. And of course, and back in Galatians, we're not going back over there, but it shows you the different things. Matter of fact, let's look at it for a second. Luke, Galatians chapter number 5 again. I want to show you something. Galatians 5. Look what the Bible says here about this battle, about the flesh in this nature situation here. The Bible shows us this. This will help us to know if it's the flesh or if it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says back in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're evident. They are seen. Which are what? He tells you. Adultery. That's the flesh. I know they're married. That's adultery is the flesh. Sin. That's not the Spirit of God. The Bible shows us not only adultery, but fornication, with fornication, that is illicit sexual intercourse outside the bonds of marriage. And by the way, as you study the word out, it also involves, my dear friends, a homosexuality, a lesbianism, and other types of devious sexual things that take place. All of this is recorded in the Bible. This is the flesh, it's not the spirit. He goes on to say, and uncleanliness, lasciviousness, which means unbridled lust, uncontrolled lust, idolatry, a witchcraft, hatred, variance, that's quarreling, emulations, jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which means just letting loose, everything goes. And watch this. So if they ain't mention mine, he says this, and also what? And such like things that are similar. The Bible goes on to tell us, my dear friends, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. Watch it, y'all. This might hit. That they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that word, or those two words, which do, mean this, my friends. It means to practice, to exercise, perform repeatedly, habitually. In other words, when you're practicing something, you're practicing to do what? Yeah. To get better. If I'm exercising, hey, I'm trying to cause something to take place here. And my dear friends, if you and I are involved in these things here, the Bible says, wait a minute, we got a problem here. A person that's exercising this, a person that's practicing this, the Bible says there's a problem, there's an issue there. And my dear friends, it's one thing to stumble and to fall, but it's another thing when you're trying to get better at something. And my dear friends, the Bible teaches us that. Not only here, but also in the book of 1 John, it talks about the same thing. Matter of fact, go with me to 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is. 1 John chapter number 2, and if that's not the verse, we'll search until we hunt it down. Amen. But look over 1 John chapter number, chapter number 2, chapter number 3. Yeah. 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says this, 1 John chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse, drop down to verse number, verse number 8. He, watch it y'all, watch it. That committeth sin is what? Of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Watch it. It's going to make you nervous here. Whosoever is born of God, watch it, doth not commit sin. Say what? For his seed remaineth in him, watch it, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Preacher, I'm all messed up now. Read it. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. The Bible says in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. We got an issue. What's our issue? Back up with me for a second and go to 1 John chapter number 1 and look at verse number 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Preach, I'm all messed up now. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Oh, preacher, we got issues now. We got a verse that says if we say we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we don't commit sin, we call God a liar. Well, then over here, In 1 John 3, he says this. He says that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Well, which one is it? That's why it's important to know definition. The words over here, he that committed sin, and then in verse number 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, is the same word dealing with practice. That goes back to Galatians. My dear friends, when you and I get saved, get blood bought and born again, all of a sudden, we don't want to do these things. that we used to do. We struggle. We fight with them. Sometimes we yield to them. But then we feel the conviction, power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then we want to get things right. And then we stumble. And we have this battle going on the inside. But if there's no battle, then we have a problem. Because the Spirit of God convicts us, my friend. So my friends, if you and I can do whatever sins that we want to do and there's no conviction, I don't know about you, but I said, I'm a preacher. I know you're a preacher, but I got to get to the altar. I got to get born again. The great thing about it is that when you are saved and you do sin and you are convicted of this sin and you're battling with the sin, my friends, that's a great indication that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, preacher. Listen, people. Listen, that battle may be a long battle, but one day we will win the victory. We got to keep on fighting. Now flip back over with me, back over to 2 Samuel. So we see the length of this battle. There's a battle that reminds us of the battle that's within us. But also the length of this battle tests the faith and the patience of David. Think about it. David has been promised that he's going to be king. But he ain't king yet. And sometimes God promises us certain things and we have not seen it materialize yet. And then we wonder, what's going on here? And it tests our faith. It tests our patience. But my friends, it's important for us that even though we're being tested and we've been tried in certain areas, to always remain faithful in the house of God. Amen. Let me give you a verse on that. Look at me over to Psalm 84 and verse 4. Psalm 84 and look at verse number 4. Psalm 84 and verse number 4. The Bible says this, Psalm 84 verse 4. The Bible says, oh, this is good news. Blessed are they that dwell where? In thy house. Talking about God's house. Watch this. They will be still doing what? Praising thee. But I'm going to tell you what, now let's flip it. For those who don't dwell in the house, in thy house, they won't still be praising him. Because, my friends, when you and I come to the house of God, when we meet for worship, we draw strength from God. He feeds us from the word of God. Our faith muscles begin to increase, and we'll praise him. But, man, if you stay away from the place of worship, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to do a whole lot of praising. Yeah. I'm talking about from experience now. You're not going to be doing a whole lot of praising. You might be doing a whole lot of pouting. You might do a whole lot of cussing, too. But I'm going to tell you what, my friends, when you start being in that place of worship, you draw strength and you'll find yourself praising God in the midst of a storm. Amen. And David, my friends, is in a lengthy battle. Go back over to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. There was a long war between the house of David and the house of Saul and the house of David. A long battle. It's going to be some years. He's going to be the king over in Hebron for 7.5 years before things change over all of Israel. That's a long time. Think about it. For some of us, it's been a few months. We've been in a battle. Well, good Lord. Imagine several years go by. But in the midst of these several years of going by, the second thing you see is the growing in the battle. The Bible says in verse 1, chapter 3, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but the Bible says, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. The second thing we see, my dear friends, is the growing in the battle. We see that David waxed. That means to walk, to go, to come. He became stronger, more powerful, and more powerful as he walked with the Lord. And that's what happens in the midst of a battle. You and I will find ourselves getting stronger as we follow the Lord. It's like going to the gym, working out. When you're working out, my dear friends, if you're not getting stronger, then what are you doing for? I'm not talking about big muscles right now, okay? But being stronger, whether it's on that treadmill and you're building your lungs up so that you'll be able to go farther, to run more, to have more stamina. But we should be getting stronger in those areas that we're working on. If you're working on your knees or whatever the case might be, we should be getting stronger. I've not been in the gym as often as I have been in a few months or whatever it is. And you know what? That's why I'm not moving. I can't know me too. Man, my knee. Man, something's happening in my knee, brother Laddie. And so I gotta get back to the gym. And a few folks are trying to encourage me and threatening me and stuff. But nonetheless, though, I'm not gonna name names. But anyhow, but as soon as I go back to the gym, as soon as I get back on the treadmill, as soon as I take that treadmill and I put it on that incline, and I'm gonna do about 15 or 20 incline, I'm gonna tell you what, when I first get to the gym, I go up the stairs like just like I'm not moving out. No, I'd be, but afterwards, it's like when I go up the stairs, like my knee feels back, that stuff is lubricated. They're moving and stuff. That hurt right there. But anyway, Bobby, what are you saying? Here's David in this fight. But the Bible says that David is getting stronger and stronger as this war progresses. Let me give you some verses to help us. Look at James chapter 1. Verse 2. Somebody says, oh, I know what that verse says. I know you know, but just hold on. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 2. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. So, we mean you're going to get some goodies. Hold on. When ye fall, somebody already knows that don't sound good. Into diverse temptations, which means adversities or trials. When you're surrounded by all various types of adversity, the Bible says, he says, count all joy. Why? Knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh or produces patience. Now, we didn't take this word patience and mess it all up. The word patience here in this verse means endurance. In other words, my dear friends, when you and I are in those trials, like David, we're in those trials, my friends, the Bible says it helps us to have more endurance. And endurance means stamina. Listen, we live in the world today in the physical sense. Well, we ain't got a lot of young people that got no stamina. I mean, I'm 51 years old, okay? No, I'm 51 years old, my soul. I mean, you give me an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old, and I'll probably run circles around them. Look at me. Yeah, come on this way. All right, I'm coming your way. Listen. But you know what? We got stamina. I mean, even when we're at the point of falling apart and going out, there's something on the inside. I said, hold on a second. Right. Hold on a minute. Right. We straightened up. Man, stuff are happening inside. It's like, stuff is going on. You're like, I'm going, brother, I'm dying. Yeah. Yeah. We got a generation. I'm going, I don't die. I mean, not our folks here, I'm just saying. But as a whole, amen. I mean, but my goodness, we need same thing spiritually. We need endurance. Amen. We need stamina. We're going to face all types of stuff, my friends. And the devil wants to push us around. Right. But I don't know about you, but I'm in the pushing back. I'm sorry. But listen, my friends, the devil comes by my place. And he has. He does. And he'll push me. And sometimes I'll bet him, Brother Russell. He'll be pushing me. I'm like, you know, I don't feel like it today. I just don't feel like it today. But at the same time, my mind, I'll say, you got a few more. Okay. You got a few more pushes. Right. And I'm going to come back swinging. Okay, I'm coming back hard. Amen. And he'll push a little bit, and the next thing I know, man, I come swing back. How do you swing back? Man, listen, your phones are not just for games. Okay? Play your games, okay, but it ain't just for games. Man, you get that phone, and man, you go into Google somewhere, you find you a sermon on endurance or strength or perseverance, and my friends, you start listening to that sermon, or you find you a song that'll give you some strength to go on a little bit farther. And my friends, and that's one song I've been listening to. I can't remember people's name right now. I've been talking about angels are watching over me. And I started listening to the lyrics of that song. I said, you know what? I ain't by myself. I'm not by myself in this thing. Yeah. And all of a sudden, my friends, I start rising up. I'm like, hey, I'm not bad. he was getting stronger. Now I believe that's because he was following somebody called God Almighty. And thirdly and lastly, I want to show you the growing in battle, but lastly, the weakening in the battle. The Bible says in verse number 1, chapter 3, that there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David, the Bible says, waxed stronger and stronger. Watch this, though. And the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Now, why was that? Because somebody was in the wrong here. And that someone was the house or the family of Saul. Here you have Abner with Saul's boy, and he ain't the one who's running things. Abner's running things. Okay, he's 39. He's the one who's really running things. And we're going to deal with him a little bit later here. But back tonight, a little bit later. But here it is, my dear friends. They're fighting against who? Not David. They're actually fighting against God. Amen. Remember what David told he told Goliath? He said, man, this is between us. This is a fight between you and God. And by the way, when we fight against God, we're going to lose every single time. We can't beat him. Abner, this will blow my mind, though. Abner knows that David is the chosen one. So what do you think is going to happen? Eventually, they're going to lose. And the Bible says their house is getting weaker and weaker. What does that mean? More folks, my dear friends, are going toward David, and they're looking at David, my friends, than they are at the house of Saul. And here at the house of Saul is about to crumble here, as we see in a few more verses, not tonight, but in a few more verses, that whole thing will come crumbling down on top of Abner's head, and literally, he's going to lose his life. When you and I fight against the Lord, we can't win. We're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. Instead of fighting against the Lord, won't we get on his side and fight with him? Because then we have victory after victory. What are you saying, preacher? That's a long battle, but there's a lot of lessons in the battle. It's a lengthy battle, but there's growing in the battle, but also there's weakening in the battle. And if we're on the wrong side of that battle, that means we're going to be the ones who will be getting weak and weaker and weaker because we're fighting against God's plan. Here's the application. One thing else I saw here about David. David never initiated the battle with the children of Israel. Think about what I'm saying. He never initiated the battle. They were in a fight, but it was always because they were coming toward his direction, as you straighten this out. What does that say? Let's not look to fight one another. Yeah. Okay? You might have to defend yourself sometimes, okay? But don't look to fight one another. The second thing is this, is we can grow in the midst of a battle if we stay focused. David stayed focused on the Lord, and he grew in the battle, and when all the dust settled, you'll see that David was king over Israel and Judah for a long time. Let me ask you the question tonight. Are you in a long battle? If you're in a long battle, just remember this. You can also grow in the midst of your battle. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And Father, it's a short message and with some verses here, but I believe, God, that it had a strong message behind it. Because, Father, we may be in a long battle. It may be a lengthy battle. A battle we really would rather not have. But sometimes, God, we're going to be in a long battle. But we'll win the victory if we follow you every step of the way. And as we'll see, David's following you. And David is going to see victories after victories. He'll be attacked, but he'll also receive some victories. He's going to have some stumbles too down the road. But at the same time, Father, he always gets things right with you. So, Father, perhaps tonight there's some of us that might find ourselves in a battle. So maybe our attitude has not been right in the midst of the battle. But we want to have the right type of attitude. I pray, God, that you help us in that particular area. But God, whatever the needs are tonight, I pray, God, we come talk to you about those things. Perhaps we know some people who we love and care for deeply, who are in such a battle, and we want to help them. Father, I pray that we come tonight and ask you for wisdom to know how to help our family or our friend that might be in the midst of a long battle, and they're discouraged. And Father, help us to have the right words to say to them. So let us come tonight and say, Father, give me the right words. Show me how to respond. And I pray, God, we come talk to you about that. And then follow your directions and help someone else to win the victory. But God, whatever the needs are tonight, I pray, God, we respond. But somebody here that's not sure of their salvation, they just realize tonight, you know what? I'm not really saved. I know I spell the word, I pronounce the word, but I realize tonight that on the inside, the Spirit of God does not rule. He is not residing. And I need him there. So I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I pray, God, they come. Father, help somebody tonight. For it's your Son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's all stand. Perhaps you're here tonight. We come talk to him for a few moments. Let's come talk to him because he sure does want to talk to us. Amen. Let's see in page 410 again, which says here, get near the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Bear a precious fountain, free to hold a healing stream, flowed from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I'll watch and I'll wait, helping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
I'm asking God, Josh, to pray for us. Yes, sir. Amen. Maybe see it.
Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me.